In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. We discussed last week that on the Sunday after Pentecost, we celebrate All Saints Sunday because we see the primary role, one of the primary roles of the Holy Spirit as being one that sanctifies us, the faithful. And so we celebrate all of the saints, all of those who we recognize have been sanctified by God on the Sunday after Pentecost, when we commemorate the descent of the Holy Spirit. Today, it is common on the second Sunday after Pentecost for churches to celebrate their local saints. And so in our case, being under the jurisdiction of the Patriarch of Antioch today, you heard hymns where we celebrate all of the saints of Antioch. Because we're Americans also, we have an icon there in the back, and we celebrate also all of the saints of North America. Obviously, our church is much younger than the Church of Antioch, so we have quite a number fewer to the degree that we can actually count all of them, and probably some of us can name all of them, but nonetheless, we celebrate them on this second Sunday following Pentecost. And because we celebrate these saints of Antioch, we heard today's epistle reading, which is the first time that Christians were called Christians, because remember, before that, Christians were considered to be part of a Jewish sect, part of the Jews, just another religion, or another branch, I should say, within Judaism. But we had this reading today where we hear about, again, the Christians first being called Christian in Antioch. And there is great significance to today's reading, because we heard about the establishment not only of the Church of Antioch, or where Christians were first called Christians, but we hear about the establishment of many of the Gentile churches that stem from today's reading, what we heard in today's reading. And there are two things that I want to highlight, the significance about how this came about, how this mission, this preaching to the Gentiles came about in the first place. Because what you notice is that the reason that the disciples and apostles even came to Antioch in the first place is because at the very beginning, we heard in today's reading, because of the persecution that arose over Stephen. Stephen was, we call him the proto-martyr, the first martyr. He was a deacon, one of the seven original deacons, and he was actually persecuted by Saul himself, as well as others who took the side of Saul, those who were against the Christians, who thought they were preaching something new, something different, rather than what we see as the fulfillment of the Old Testament. And so this great persecution arose. And it's only because this persecution arose that, as we heard, the disciples were dispersed. They went and fled their separate ways. They scattered. And because of this, ultimately, we have the foundation of the Church of Antioch. What should we take from this? Well, again, there's two things I want to highlight. The first is the fact that no matter what we humans do, God's will cannot be stopped, cannot be thwarted. You see, because the disciples were just going to stick around the area of Jerusalem and Judea and preach primarily to the Jews and a few of the Gentiles that were in that area. But God had different plans. He wanted them to go abroad. And how did this ultimately become accomplished? It was through human sin, human tragedy, through persecution of one another because of different religious beliefs, because of actually martyring, killing someone because of their religious beliefs. But even in this, God ultimately is able to accomplish His will. And we see this as a constant theme throughout Scripture, going back to the very beginning in the book of Genesis, where we hear the story of Joseph. And remember, we heard this story of Joseph in the church on the final week of Great Lent, as we're preparing ourselves for Holy Week. The church is telling us that Jesus is like this Joseph that we heard about in Genesis. And what happened with Joseph? One of the great sins in the Mosaic Law. His brothers sold him into slavery because of their jealousy. So they decided to get rid of their brother, to kick him out, to make him become a slave, to punish him because he had the favor of their father. And again, they were jealous of him. And so they make him a slave. And what happens, of course, we know the rest of the story. Joseph ultimately becomes the right-hand man in Egypt next to the Pharaoh. And he saves up the grain when there's going to be famine in the land. And he ultimately then ends up saving his brothers who end up having to come to Egypt to him and beg for food. And remember, his brothers, they thought, well, this is not good for us when they found out this was Joseph. This is not going to be good for us when our father dies. Because surely when our father dies, he's going to take his revenge on us. He's just waiting. But what did Joseph say to his brothers? He said, nothing to worry about, friends. Nothing to worry about. What you intended for evil, God intended for good. In other words, even when you sinned, you committed this great sin of selling me into slavery, God used it for his own purposes to save you and to make us become a great nation. Because without Joseph having been sold into slavery, the people of God would have perished. We saw it in the life of Jesus Christ, sold by his brothers, the Jews, most especially the religious and pious Jews of his time, sold over to the Roman Empire so that he could be crucified. And what happened? It was for the salvation of the world. So we see that God works through the messiness of this world to accomplish his own will. And perhaps from that we can also see something that is a corollary, which is that especially when we see chaos, what we see as chaos in the world, perhaps God is actually working through that. And so all of our distress and anxiety, we need to remember the crucifixion. We need to remember the story of Joseph. We need to remember that we're only here as part of the Patriarchate of Antioch because there was chaos and people were persecuting the disciples and they were scattered abroad and took with them God's message to the nations. The second thing that we can learn from this story is, again, a theme that we see constantly throughout the Bible. It is where we are always placed in a position of humility. We, of course, are the Gentiles, but people in general. The Jews, of course, are placed in a position of humility. Why? Because they reject their Messiah. They wanted a different Messiah than the one that God sent them. But we also, as Gentiles, should be in a place of humility. And Paul stresses this in his epistle to the Romans, where he says, we ought not to be haughty because we were grafted in. We were grafted into God's community. And if the rejection of the gospel by the Jews was to our benefit, to our glory, how much greater their acceptance would be for us. So you see, all of us are in a position of humility. It's only because people sinned and persecuted Stephen that we even know about the gospel. So this, again, brothers and sisters, places us in a position where it's not as though it's because we're special. It's not because of anything that we did. It's because God decided to be good even though people were evil, even though people were sinning. And you see, brothers and sisters, this ultimately should be a message of freedom for us. Because ultimately what we recognize is that it wasn't because of our good deeds. It wasn't because of our lack of sin that God loved us. No, in fact, it was the opposite. It was because of human sin that God showed his love upon us. And remember, brothers and sisters, that parable of the great banquet that Jesus taught us, where he talked about there was a master who was going to have a great banquet. And he invited the prominent guests that he could have in the town. And what happened? They came up with excuses why they couldn't come. And so this master says, well, I have this feast prepared. I'm not going to be mocked by these people who didn't come. So go out and find the maimed and the lame and the blind and bring them in, and we'll still have the feast. And that, of course, represents the outcast Jews in that parable, the people who were not considered to be clean enough, ritually pure enough to enter into the temple or to go into synagogue and sit at the table with the self-righteous Jews. And the servant comes back to the master and says, I went and I invited them all in, and yet, master, there is still room. And he says, fine, go out to the highways and the hedges and compel them to come in, which speaks to us, the Gentiles. In other words, it was because of the master's great love. It was because of the master didn't want to be mocked by those who rejected him that he came to us, and that we had the opportunity to accept his message. And so also, again, a corollary to that, and related to all of this that we've been speaking about this morning, it should be freeing. Why? Because even amidst our sin, God is working through us. You know, so many times we get down on ourselves because of our sin, and we think that God cannot work through us. Read Scripture, brothers and sisters. He works through sinners. You're not going to convince God to work through you just because you're righteous or holy. And yet the worst thing, in fact, the worst thing that we can do is think that God is working through us because we're so holy. No, God works through sinners. And yes, some of them become saints. But none of them started that way. God works through sinners. We should find ourselves, brothers and sisters, to be humbled by this fact, to be freed by this fact, and to offer glory to the all-compassionate and all-merciful God who loves us and works through us in his own ways, ways that we often do not see or understand until after the fact. To him be all glory, honor, and worship to the ages of ages. Amen.